This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Better rates and better service. Touchdown or Turnover. Man, this is a lot of good stuff going on, man. A lot of good stuff going on. All right, let's make it about the grad transfer corner. Nick Harvey, Touchdown Turnover, Tennessee gets him. He got a chance to watch the defense. He spent this weekend here with his father, coming in from Texas A&M. He's going to be a grad transfer. He's looking at several other SEC schools. But do you think Tennessee gets him, touchdown or turnover?
I think so, for a couple of reasons. Because, for one, I think he's got the opportunity for immediate playing time. I mean, cornerback position is, you can use some work. I'll put it that way. It's better probably than I thought it might be at this point, but still, I think he, I don't know that he's an immediate starter, but he's an immediate in terms of contributing to this team in some part. And then past that, the head coach is your coach. I mean, it's going to be a defensive backs coach. So those two things combined, I think, with Jeremy Pruitt's track record as a defensive backs coach and how great he's been there, combined with the fact that you get immediate playing time at Tennessee, why not? Why would you not choose Tennessee at this point? So come on down. I think he does head to Knoxville.
I say touchdown as well. I think there's a, as Charlie alluded to, just can come in right away and play. I mean, Baylen Buchanan is really your best true corner on the team right now. If you would have told me that was the first time Alante Taylor was playing corner at this level and he had only practiced there, what, three or four times, I would have told you that you were lying. I mean, you could make the case that he was the best corner for Tennessee on Saturday. So I think there's just a big opportunity for Nick Harvey to come in and play right away. That's something he talked about. He values playing for Charles Kelly, safety's coach. He's really big on that, considering Kelly's track record of getting guys to the league. TK Jr. hosted him. He thought it was a family atmosphere. And he's got one more official visit that he can take left, and I think he's deciding between Oklahoma State and Florida. Florida will scare me. I mean, if Florida has a great tradition with DBs, and it's Florida. So that makes it a little nerve-wracking, but I do think Nick Harvey comes to Tennessee because of the relationship that he started to create with Coach Pruitt, Charles Kelly, the safeties coach, and at the end of the day, he can come in and start right away. Tennessee needs help at corner like no other, even though Jeremy Pruitt said that it wasn't a position of need National Signing Day. But I think he comes to Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Marquell Osborne
Osborne. You are correct.
You're correct. Him to list with Baylen Buchanan.
Yes.
I'm going to say touchdown, too. I think at this stage of the game, you didn't get your corners on National Signing Day. You didn't get the grad transfer from Stanford. He decided to go to LSU. And this grad transfer got a chance to be hosted by TK. So TK knows what's there, what's not there, how much we need another player corner, how much we don't need another player corner. So I think that's a big factor. You mentioned Jeremy Pruitt being – the secondary coach, along with T. Fair and Charles Kelly. But I got a chance to talk to, you know, that family, and talk to dad a little bit, and they looked like they were having a good time. Looking at some of the comments that was made after the visit, I think he sees an opportunity for himself to come in and play early. And starting, what does starting really mean? Not much. You know, if you go in, you start, and you don't finish, that means you didn't get the job done. So being a valuable contributor is more important than just starting. I see him being that for this defense. We need help at the cornerback position. Our receivers have played well this spring, and they've played well consistently. And a lot of it, you give credit to David Johnson and our receivers, but we want the days, the good days, to alternate. Hey, this guy had a good day. This group had a good day. That's when you know the competition is where it needs to be, and the DBs certainly need more of that. So let's get to the phones, 865-255-03, okay, and let's get to Charles. Charles, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Swain. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
All right. Didn't get a chance to make it to the game this past weekend, Swain. My wife and I are actually flying out to Dallas. She has an interview. It's coming up weekend, man, so I didn't want to be gone two weekends in a row, but I watched it on TV. And I can tell you this, Swain, there's going to be a lot of players that played a lot of snaps last year that are going to get their feelings hurt, and they're not going to play, and they're going to get run off.
Yep.
So I sent out a tweet at pretty much towards the end of the game, and my tweet pretty much said that these guys, there's been a lot of guys that have just basically folded it up and quit, and you can look at and tell, and I'm at home watching on TV. And so it was obvious. And I said, these coaches, they've got a problem. But it's fixable.
It is fixable.
Because if I'm him, I'm right. You know, listen, these guys have had 15 practices to show what they could do. So the guys that are coming in, and you got to keep something in mind, these are all Pruitt guys. None of these guys coming, and most of this recruiting class is Pruitt guys. Guys that they wanted, except for a couple. So you're going to have a lot of guys that's going to get run off, and they should, Swain. They really should. I'm telling you. It was a shame what I saw towards the end of that game, second half of that game, and even parts of the first half. I don't care what Pruitt said about the fans. I could care less.
It's why it's not a topic right now. I mean, we'll discuss it if someone wants to talk about it.
But
it's things really more important than what Pruitt said right now. The X's and O's, what's going on in between the white lines. I'll let the amateurs spend their whole show talking about that. I'm talking about X's and O's.
Yeah, and so, but other than that, I thought they gave a lot of effort for the most part, but there's some guys that quit, and the guys that quit are getting run off. Anyway, you guys have a great show. Back up the list.
Yeah, Charles. Here's the thing, because I think it's easy for folks to go, man, the effort's not there. They're intentionally not playing hard. They just quit intentionally. I remember when I was a freshman, and I thought I was playing hard. And these guys last year probably thought in Butch Jones' system that they're playing hard. This is really the first game that they played under Pruitt. And this is why Pruitt wanted to simulate a game. And you may think you're going hard. It's like, hey, you want to lose 10 pounds or 15 pounds, and you think you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, so you think you're eating right, you think you're working out, until you get with a trainer and a nutritionist. And they tell you the truth, and you're like, oh, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But then you realize, because you just didn't know. No, you're not doing enough. I think it's the same thing with these players. What was okay before is not okay now. They don't understand what strain really means, what emptying the bucket really means, the difference between being hurt and being injured. You have an ankle sprain? Okay. Can you walk? Get your ass up. Either play or get out. But no one's going to come over there and feel sorry for you. Your leg is still attached. You can walk. It's not broken. And that's the toughness that these coaching staff, strength staff, everyone will have to instill in these players. They just don't know. Some of them just don't know. And you'll go back to the film and you'll say, okay, you think you're working hard. Okay, let me show you a play that illustrates exactly what I mean as far as maximum effort. And then you show that play and that player is going, oh, okay. Now I see how hard I need to play. Here's another thing also, Charles, and this is in defense of those players you're talking about. The defense have more stuff that's been thrown at them than the offense. And when you're thinking, you're not going 100 miles per hour. You're not reacting as fast enough when you're thinking. And our defense, when these guys get this defense down and they know exactly where they're supposed to be and how to adjust depending on the offense and the formation and the motions and everything that they're going to see, when they are feeling comfortable with this system, this defense is going to be rocking. And they'll be able to make plays with lesser talent because they'll be smart. But right now, they're not spoon-feeding these guys on defense. They're giving them everything they can handle and seeing who can handle it, who can't. But in defense of some of these guys, they're thinking too much rather than just reacting. And Pruitt knows that. But Pruitt cannot ease up. He can't take that as an excuse. He can't be okay with that. Hey, guys, it's okay if you don't go hard because you're getting it's a new system. No. You demand the best, and you make the bar as high as possible. And if they reach it, you raise it again. But you push them to reach that bar. Get in the film room, go work, but we have to be smarter than everybody else because we're not going to be more talented than teams we play in this league this year.
And we should give it a little bit of context here in terms of what Pruitt said after the game about the team's performance. He said that overall he would grade it a D, and that he said some guys out there just flat out quit. And, I mean, he told them how it is. I mean, he did not hold back at all. Obviously, you're touching on it there. I just wanted to kind of
give it
the full context if people haven't heard what he said. Rightfully so. I love it. I mean, Rick Barnes has kind of championed that with the basketball team, and his team's responded incredibly well to it. Ideally, Pruitt, if the guys that he has right now don't respond to it, ideally the guys that he brings in will respond to it. He'll bring in guys that he believes will buy into that kind of mentality. But, it's a brand new thing for this team. Butch didn't do that. Butch played favorites. Butch had drama, and Butch did all the stuff that you shouldn't do as a football coach, and Pruitt don't play that.
They don't know. It's, you know, you go to if you play for the Browns and you're working hard and you're practicing hard and you know, you think you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as an NFL player, but then you go to the Patriots and you're like, oh, man.
Oh,
this is how it's supposed to be done. Like, they just don't know. They know what they don't know. And they had Butch Jones, who had no idea how to win at this level. He was guessing. He never did it before. He was guessing. And these players were following him. They didn't know. And now they know. All right, let's get to Vol Nation. Vol Nation, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I enjoyed the game. I had to watch it from the house. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to come up. So I apologize to Vol Nation and to Coach Pruitt. I love his comments challenging not only the players but also the fans' expectations, man. Expectations. He has high expectations for the program as a whole, man. And what I liked above all, I mean, I, of course, watching Garantano looking a lot more comfortable out there in a system that he's just kind of getting his finger on now, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 INTs. Eli Wolf looked pretty decent out there with a few catches. Palmer looked better, Callaway. The running backs looked great, you know, sharing the ball, and Tyler Chandler and Jordan. But I enjoyed watching Coach Pruitt work and the coaches work after each play. A player come off, they didn't do their job, they're in their grill. Mm-hmm. They're coaching them up. I enjoyed that. I mean, they were showing all kinds of things on the field, but I was like, I want to see the coach, you know. And I'm telling you, they were in their grill, they were talking to them, they were coaching them up, and the players were responding, you know. And I like that because these kids, like I said, they've got talent, but they have been woefully uncoached and undercoached for a number of years now. And like you said, now it's a mentality change. I was excited to see Warrior. Warrior seemed like he was in the game. He was all over the place. I mean, I didn't realize he was doing kickoff returns too. They were testing him. I guess, you know, he's willing to put the best players on the field, put the ball in their hands.
No doubt.
But he was vocal on the sideline. He was in it. you know, I kind of lip read a little bit and looked like, you know, he was saying one thing and then the coach came back and was saying the same thing. You know, so I'm like, okay, you know. And so it was great seeing these players step up. Even the players that didn't play, I saw Batuli, he looked like he was hot on the sideline.
Yeah, he should be. They were getting toasted.
He was upset. I don't know who – they didn't pan over to tell me – to show who he was actually yelling at. But he was in somebody's grill and he was not happy. I was like, wow, you know. And just the edge that you're seeing, once again, I think anointing flows from the head down. So it's like, here you got these coaches, and they got an edge about them. They got a swagger about them. They got intensity about them. They're professionalism. And I think that is starting to infiltrate into the team, into the program, into these players. And it's going to benefit them the further along we go. 15 practice, that's a good number of practices, but it's not enough practices for them to grasp everything.
Yeah, it's not enough.
And I think as we get into the fall and they start getting into summer and you go into fall and get more into those 25 practices or so, and you're going to see a lot better. You know, you're going to see them actually executing a lot more. Like you said, they're not going to be thinking as much. And when they're not thinking as much and they can respond and react, and then they begin to cover one another, I think you're going to see a great defense. I think you're going to see a pretty explosive offense. I can't wait till everybody gets back healthy because, you know, having Darren Cooker out there, having Juwan Jennings out there, having Callaway, who looked, you know, like he was confident, and you know, and out there attempting to use his body to make catches. I mean, you just saw little things where this potential of who they were or could have been last year is now coming out, starting to brew out, and you're excited about the players that's coming in that hadn't showed up yet, like Chris, the quarterback, as well as the players that are there, and what Coach Pruitt has done in such a short period of time with these coaches. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait for the season. You know, no, I'm not expecting to go to a national championship necessarily. You know, if it happened, to be great, you know. But I am looking for vast improvement. I'm looking for an attitude change, which I think is starting to happen now. And he's challenging, like you said, these players, because most of them have been challenged like this before. And what was normal before is inexcusable now. And so they're going to have to get with the program or ship out. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, you're right, Vol Nation.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Hey, thank you, Vol Nation. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll discuss Pruitt's comments about the attendance. And, you know, we'll spend a segment on it or so, something like that. We won't spend a whole show on it because a football game was played on Saturday, and there's so much to cover. Special teams, offense, defense, who stood out, who needs to improve. There's so much content to go over, and I just don't feel like it's – worth spending an entire show on talking about Pruitt's comments about the attendance. But Vol Nation brought it up. It's been a topic of conversation last night, and so we'll spend a little bit of time on it and then move on. We got For What later on in the show. We got Attaboy we still have to cover. Lots to get to. Not a lot of time. Stay with us. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Hour 2 of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates. Expertise you can trust.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerry Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerry Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue isn't just a great place to go for dinner. They have fantastic lunch specials every day. Monday through Friday, they offer great deals on different meals each day. Dead End Barbecue has the smoke and sweet meal with half-smoked chicken. A side, choice of bread and banana pudding on Monday, brisket French dip on Tuesday, salmon salad on Wednesday. Thursday is the cold smoked turkey BLT and center cut bone-in pork chop on Friday. Not to mention, you can get a bowl of beans and smoked sausage for $6 every day. So when you are looking for somewhere to go for lunch during the week, look no further than Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, Your lunch search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live. Don't just hear Swain face, see it.
All right, Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Today, smoke and sweet special. You got a half-smoked chicken served with a side and choice of bread, and then you get nanner pudding included. Half-smoked chicken and nanner pudding as a dessert, all in one meal, $12. Dead End Barbecue.
Ridiculous.
Jerem Pruitt said some things. They got some folks bothered a little bit. And Charlie has the full quote, because those that paraphrase this quote had everybody in a tizzy yesterday. But if you go back and you read the entire quote, maybe you feel the same, maybe you don't. But I think if we're going to talk about this, we need to have the entire quote up and read. So, Charlie, what you got?
I believe Pruitt was asked something to the effect of, what do you think of the turnout? So that's kind of where this stems from. And he said, well, I thought it was great. I thought the Vol Walk was spectacular. I don't know how many fans we had. You guys probably know. But to me, it's kind of like our football team for the fans. The ones that were here, I'm proud they were here. They're fired up and ready to get going. Then there were some people that wasn't here, and they had legitimate reasons they couldn't be here. Then there were some people that wasn't here, that why weren't they here? It's kind of like our football team. I think we all need to look in the mirror and see who wants to be here. It's an interesting quote for me, that I mean, we were talking about in the break there. I think all of us sort of feel similarly. We get it from both sides. You know, I get the fans that heard it and said, don't be calling out the fans right now. Don't be talking about, oh, fans that didn't want to be here should have been here. You know, don't. I understand that. I also get it from Pruitt's standpoint, where he wants as many fans as possible, and he, you know, wants to see those stands filled up, maybe for recruiting reasons, maybe for just to get support out. At the end, I guess my take on it is, it was, if I'm him, I wouldn't have said it. I'll put it that way. I wouldn't have said this.
Got it.
Because it just is not something that needs to be said right now. These fans have gone through a lot, and you got something like 55 to 65,000 people out there still after the worst season in the history of this football program.
And after the coaching search.
After that coaching search, after everything that they've been through, don't
after
be.
After you took away the autograph session.
Yeah, don't be talking about the fans not coming.
Very valid reason why it took it away. We understand it.
It was fair, but.
But it still
it irks people.
It still was not there, and to get 65,000, pretty dang impressive. Yeah, pretty good. Not having fan day.
But, yeah, that's just how I felt about it. I wouldn't have said it, but I get it. It's at the end of the day, this is an inconsequential thing. But Jeremy Pruitt, you know, maybe just take a little PR training. You know, like, you're an extremely honest person, and that's awesome. People want that right now. But sometimes you can be a little too honest, maybe.
So Friday night, Pruitt former talked for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then introduced Jeremy Pruitt. And now, we've been through our fair share of coaches who have addressed our former players. So we didn't know what to expect. And, you know, Pruitt does his deal. And basically was like, listen, this is what I can promise. We're going to win. We're going to win. And everybody got a job to do. And Pruitt challenged us. The Letterman. Yeah. He challenged us to help with recruiting because rules are a little bit more lax now with interaction between former players and recruits. Now, there's things you can't do, but you can help a little bit more. And he challenged us. And I loved it. I think a lot of our former players loved it. You know, they were kind of bobbing their head back and forth and clapping a little bit. He was up front. He was direct. He was honest. He was genuine. He was real. And folks enjoyed that. Well, in this quote, he was the same way. He's going to say some things that you ain't going to like. But you know it's honest. You know it's how he feels. And he's going to rub you the wrong way. But you know that no one's going to outwork him. And he's going to do everything he can do to win. And he's proven that he's done that. He's done that at Hoover. He's done that at Alabama. He's done it at Florida State. He's been a part of 5 national champions in college and a few state championships at Hoover. And that's what he's going to guarantee. If he says it, he means it. If he promises you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He said that the Vol walk was spectacular. And I guess the question was about attendance. He thought it was great. I think Charlie is right. If you had a choice of saying it and not saying it, maybe you don't. But when I first heard the quote, I actually loved it, to be honest. And he's right. And the fans who are upset about the comments, you're right too. Because you have endured the last 10 years. You have poured your money into this program only to see the leaders mess it up. You are right. But Pruitt is also right too when he says you got to decide who you want to be. And the reason why I think he's right is because you have every reason right now to be guarded. You have every reason right now to say, I'm going to wait and see. But at some point, you're going to have to look in the mirror and you're going to have to ask yourself, okay, when do I reengage? What is it going to take for me to reengage? Will it be after you see a big win against West Virginia? Will it be maybe after a loss to Alabama, but you know Tennessee punched him in the mouth and didn't back down? What will it take for you to reengage? And at some point, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to self-assess. You're going to have to look in the mirror, and you're going to have to do that. He is right when he said that. Let me tell you the message he shared with his football team and everyone in that building. He doesn't care about the pass. You can hear that in Drew Richmond when he's talking. You can hear that in some of the other players. He's drilling that in the heads of the players that's on his team and the people that was around the building before he got here. He does not care about the pass. He does not care. And so with him saying that message, you could say that he does not care about the last 10 years that have happened here at Tennessee, which – he shouldn't. That's he's a football coach. He should focus on that. But the people that are offended, people who are bothered by it, it's okay to look at the past. It's okay because you're a fan and you've poured in a lot. I don't think this is someone's wrong and someone's right here. I would take Pruitt being this way over a coach who fluffs. A coach who, when he talks, you know he's lying. You know how bad that is when someone talks to you and you know they're lying?
That's the worst.
Ain't that the worst? When you like, you're wasting my time right now. I know what you're telling me is a lie. You feel disrespected. Some people, you may feel mad. You may feel like put off. I can't stand to talk to someone when I know they're lying. I just think it's a waste of time. Yeah. I don't think Pruitt is going to be that way, obviously, by these comments. But I would rather have Pruitt raw like this and maybe step on some toes than the opposite. I'll say this quick moment, this quick thing right quick for a moment, and then get Ben's comments. Like, these dudes are wired this way. I'm speaking of Nick Saban. I'm speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, and I'm putting in Rush Probst in that conversation. And that's why they get along, and that's why Pruitt was able to come back to Alabama, run the defense, and have freedom the way he did on defense. It's why Rush Probst had a chance to join Alabama staff under Nick Saban, but because of the scandal, Pruitt went, and Pruitt's been able to adapt. This is why Pruitt didn't get along with Georgia coaches. That's why the Georgia coaches got fired and they brought in Kirby Smart. This is the reason why Jeremy Pruitt didn't get along with Georgia coaches. But he got along with Jimbo Fisher and he got along with Nick Saban. I'll say this. So at the game, I was sitting in Borsella Center with a lot of the former players because I had stood up for the first half or so. So I wanted to go inside and quite frankly sit down and get some water. And I'm looking through the window and I see Coach Probst, Rush Probst, walk by on the sideline with his wife. So I was like, I gotta go say hey. I played against Hoover 3 years in high school. A lot of Hoover guys on his staff. I got a lot of respect for Rush as a football coach. He's one of the best high school football coaches I've ever seen. Ever. And there was a possibility he was going to join the staff. And because of the rules, you can't recruit a player from school and then bring that coach on unless he's going to be on the field coach. It didn't work out. But I ran up to Rush. I haven't seen Rush or talked to him since the post game of 2001 of my sophomore year in the semifinal high school football playoffs when we lost to Hoover by a play. And I talked to him after the game then. So I run up. I say, coach. He turns around. I give him a five. I give him some dap or whatever. Hey, coach, what's up, man? Jason Swain. Jason, what's going on, man? What's going on? Hey, good to see you. First thing he said was brutally honest. Damn, man, you gained some weight. First thing he said. 17 years. It's the first thing he said was, man, you gained some weight. Just brutally honest. And I was like, you're right, Coach. Tennessee Eaton. It's Tennessee. It's Tennessee Eaton got me. He was brutally honest. That's what you're going to get from these guys. That's what you're going to get from Jermaine Pruitt.
You mean the guy who had a second family said that?
Yeah.
Are you telling me?
He said, yeah, he said that. He said that. And they just, he's just honest. And we're not used to it. I'm pretty sure Pruitt's going to say something to me one day that's going to be like, whoa. But I like that. I mean, that reminds me of my great uncle a little bit, man. Just honest. And you may not like it at first, but you're going to respect it. Both sides are right here. Both sides are right. Nothing Pruitt said that was wrong. Maybe the timing was a little bit off, considering what this fan base went through. But at some point, we're going to have to look in the mirror and say, okay, these guys, we got the right guys in place. I'm back in the saddle. And the fans are right for and it's the people who are bothered. It's the people who really did have a decision to come and decide not to. Those are the people who are really offended. Because the people who showed up, they're good.
You were there.
They're not offended.
You're not getting called out. But
he's talking to you and you feel a certain type of way because you know you could have went. And it's okay for you to feel like you do. I'm not going to get sucked in right now until I see something. You're not wrong in feeling that. That's cool. But you feel a certain type of way because he's talking to you.
the way I guess I would have played this exactly the way that I, you know, would have been the perfect way to do this on Pruitt's end would be to say it's our responsibility to get the fans out here. We got to win. They don't, you know, right now, they don't really have a reason to come out. We're coming off 4-8 season. This is, you know, essentially the same team showing up here. Why would they show up? I would have played it that way now. And then if you win 8 games this season, say this.
Yeah.
If you don't get the turnout that you want at the spring game, after you have a good year and things are looking up, say this.
Yeah.
Like that's how I would have gone. Yeah, like you said, timing was just a little off because just right now is just not the time to be saying stuff about the fans.
Yeah.
I'm exactly like you. I get it from both sides. It's a non-issue at the end of the day.
I look at this comment sometimes how we have to look at politics. You have someone that you have to vote for, and this one person may be good for you personally, depending on what you believe, and then you have to make a decision on what is good for the country or the city or the state, depending on what the election is. Personally, I like the comments. I like them. They don't bother me. But I have to look at it from the fan's perspective. That fan who didn't like him. And I understand. How long are you going to be upset? It should be 30 seconds or 30 minutes and then you move on. Yeah, be bothered. Cool, whatever. But does that mean you ain't going to show up now because Pruitt hurt your feelings? Yeah, I mean, he could have not said it, but he did. It ain't that bad. But he could have been better, but he wasn't. The most important thing is we have everything in place to go win. We just need to go recruit now. Yep. That's it. That's all we have to do. I'm telling you what I've seen the last month or so. I have stopped myself from getting to this point, but I've seen exactly what has been going on. The feeling that is around Rocky Top is the first time I felt this since I was on my official visit in 2002. Everything is in place to go win. Everything is in place to go win. They just need the players. That's all. So that's on Letterman, how we talk about the program out in the community. I know I have a tough job because I got to call like I see it. But we're not going to waste any talent anytime soon. There shouldn't be any scandals anytime soon. So we should be good at least for a little bit, right? But how we talk in the community, everyone's going to go back to their city. If you're from Nashville, from Texas or whatever, and hey, you may know someone that may know someone that may have a really good player. How are you plugging in with Tennessee? So, Letterman, we have a job to do. I think fans have a responsibility.
No, you're good.
coaches obviously have a responsibility. Players have a responsibility. But everything's in place. All right, let's get to Rodney. Just got to get the players, though. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning, fam. How y'all doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful, Rodney, man. I'm pumped.
I am, too. And I would just like to say I didn't make it. I didn't get to make it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was there. But sometimes you just got to look at the man in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? So the fans who felt some kind of way, hey, man, it's on them. But for me personally, and I didn't get to come, I like to know where I stand. So if this coaching staff is going to give me 100%, then I got to figure out some ways this season to get up there and support my team. So I'm blunt myself. So I've often been accused that I don't have any tact, but at least you know where I stand. So it don't bother me. So I say I'm all in, but y'all know that anyway.
Yeah, I mean it's one thing to be like questioning someone else when you haven't done anything yourself and you ain't put in the work. Now it's fair to say, okay, Pruitt, you haven't done anything as a head coach yet, but Pruitt knows what he's going to do. Like he knows the formula, he knows what it's supposed to look like, and he knows that no one's going to outwork him. No one's going to outwork him. He knows that, so that's why he's confident in saying that, even if he's 0-0 here.
Right, I know, because you know I live in Atlanta, and they just can't keep Tennessee out their mouth on the sports radio down here. So I started to call and give them a piece of my mind, but I didn't want
to
Tennessee like that.
Yeah, it's early. It's early. We got to win some games first.
Yeah, but I just say this: those who can't ain't no different than those who won't.
Truth.
And if you got a football player that don't want to stick his nose in there, then that's a 60-yard run. You got, you know, it's run fits and all this kind of stuff. And if you can't do it, then it ain't no need you being here. I don't care what star ranking you are.
Truth.
You know, so I'm glad he said it. That set the expectation. Now it's up to those who in their feelings a little bit, either you're going to get in or get out, just like the players. So his analogy was great. So, I just sat back and listened to the rest of the show because it's a great show, and y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. I love it.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I guess really the only true problem that I have with this quote is the comparison of the fans to the players. The fans aren't like the players. The players signed up for this. They're part of the product. They're
fans sign up too.
Not really.
You sign up to be what kind of fan you want to be. You sign up when you sign that check.
It's not the same though. I mean, like
you have a decision.
The fans can look at the product on the field and say no, I and walk away. The players are a part of the product.
The players are two different players. No, too, and leave.
Well, I can
and not play football.
But largely, it's just not the same. Same group of people, and I don't like that comparison.
Man,
I guess
I mean, do they have to be the same group of people to make a comparison?
Because the fans, it's all a choice. You're choosing to support Tennessee because it's, you know, you grew up, it's in, you know, just in your blood. You went to school there, whatever it may be. It's all a choice for these fans, where with the coaches are getting paid to be there, the players directly signed up for it and decided to go to Tennessee, and it's their choice to be on this football team. They can get out, but
coaches made a choice too.
That was true, but they trade their services for money. These fans ain't getting paid to show up.
I understand that, but everybody has a choice though. I mean, there's one coach on the staff that could have went to Alabama, could have went to Georgia, and said no because he wanted to be here. Like he had a choice.
Yeah,
he would have got paid probably more money at Alabama and Georgia. He had a choice. He had a choice to make.
I just don't love the comparison. It's, to me, that's a little unfair. But like the players aren't making the same choice as the fans.
They could. I mean, you can. I mean, you have a choice of how much you want to be locked in. You want to be all in, or you just want to dip your toe in the water. Like that's.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a pretty fair comparison. Hey, do you want to just play when you feel good, you're not hurt, you know, when you're not tired, or do you want to play whenever? Because you're trying to win a game. And fans, hey, do you want to just only come when the team's undefeated, or do you want to be a part of, like, do you want to be a part of the increase? Because it's easy to jump on when you're at the top, but do you want to be a part of that ascension? And I think for fans who are part of that, I think it'll feel a lot better.
Sure.
Be some, you know, self-fulfillment there. I think the comparison is – I don't have a problem with the comparison. I understand it 100%.
I hate and always have hated anyone who's telling a fan how to feel. Like a fan, like I get all up in my feelings about the Predators, and I get mad and I get all worked up. And people are like, oh, you need to calm down. You need to not be so negative. Don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me how to be a fan. Don't tell me when to show up. Don't tell me what to do. This is fandom. It's fandom. It's your choice. It's all up to you. You don't necessarily have to follow me on Twitter. You don't want to follow me if you don't like what I say about the Predators. But like, true. But just I really don't like that because the fans, it's all voluntary. You know, all you're getting back is the enjoyment of the game. And so I, what he said, that's why I don't like
it. But what
it.
He said wasn't wrong though.
No.
It just, yeah, hey, you have heard it before and it caught you off a little off guard and hey, somebody challenged you a little bit. So it's like, whoa, you're a little taken back, but it wasn't wrong what he said. We got For What coming up next. I think both sides are right. I really do. And hey, your coach tells you how it is. And those players, they love it. They respect it. From everything that I've heard from them. All right, got to go to break because the song is getting ready to finish. Swain Event. Be right back.
Hour two of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates. Expertise you can trust.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Hey, it's Jason Swain. There's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a medical provider that you trust and that specializes in testosterone. I got my levels tested at the Low T Center. Their physicians exclusively diagnose and treat men with low T. At the Low T Center, it's quick and easy. Treatment is even covered by most health insurance. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's.
Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
All right, it's time for What here in the Swain Event. Thanks for joining the program today. Best day of the week, Monday. Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Swain Event TV driven by Toyota Knoxville and ToyotaKnoxville.com. So you can see Charlie and Ben's handsome face, but my ugly face. Thanks to Toyota Knoxville for making that happen. We got For What, Charlie, Ben, what do we have today?
Got it For What for the folks that are populating Jay Feely's mentions on Twitter. Jay Feely, if you do not know, is an NFL analyst for CBS.
Thank you for this one.
And over the weekend, he tweeted out this picture of his daughter going to prom. And he tweeted out a picture and said with the caption, "Wishing my beautiful daughter and her date a great time at prom. Hashtag bad boys." Now, why did he say hashtag bad boys? Because it had a picture attached that was him with his arm around his daughter and the kid that she's going to prom with. And he has a gun in his hand. Jay Feely does. Has a gun in his hand. It's a dad joke. It's not. It's a played out trope. Everybody who's ever had a daughter, like yourself, Swain, has made this joke. Like, oh, I'm not going to stand for anybody messing with my daughter, you know? And it's a dad joke. And he, you know, I saw it and I was like, it's kind of funny.
Well, yeah. He used hashtag bad boy because there's a scene in the movie.
Yeah, sorry. I meant to say that.
There's a scene in the movie. Yeah. Where Martin's daughter is being taken out by a young man, so the young man comes to the door, and him and Will Smith, they mess with the young man.
Yes.
And Jay Feely is just referencing that scene in the movie.
And like, the kid in the picture is, like, smirking. He's in on the joke.
Yes.
The kid that's going with Jay Feely's daughter to prom, he's in on the joke. And all of these people, oh, in a time where there's so much gun violence and where we're all, well, we need more gun control. And you're tweeting out a picture like this. And people just crying, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Woe is me. I can't believe the world is so cruel that I would have to look at this on my Twitter timeline. And after all of that, just idiocy, he put out an apology. He said, "The prom picture I posted obviously was intended to be a joke." Yeah, we all know that. And he said, "My daughter has dated the boyfriend for over a year. Knew I was joking. The gun was not loaded. Had the safety on. Didn't even have a clip in it. I did not intend to be insensitive to that important issue." It was kind of an apology, but like a non-apology. He didn't say, "I apologize." So I'll at least give him that much. But like, you didn't have to explain yourself, man.
Nope.
We get it. It's a joke. It's the classic dad joke. You don't. This bugs me so much. Stop trying to police people's speech. I will forever defend a man's right to make a dad joke.
You know who matters in this scenario between Feely and the two kids and everybody, the families, whatever. The only people that matter is the parents of that boy.
Yeah.
Like, if
were they in on it?
If they're cool, then everyone else should be cool.
Yeah.
And if that dad of that son has a daughter, he understands. But if he's cool with the joke or whatever, because, hey, if I had a son and my son went somewhere and I know my son is well-behaved, I know he's going to treat the young lady with respect, I don't know if I would like the dad of the young lady that my son's getting ready to take out to be joking around about a gun if I know I raised my kid properly. What about your daughter? What about your daughter might get some stank on my son? I raised my son right. Maybe it's your daughter that's going to ruin my son. How about that? So as long as dad, mom of the boy, if he's cool, everybody needs to shut up and have a drink and smile. Like, I would say Richard Pryor part, but I can't because it's profanity. But everyone should just Richard Pryor told Eddie Murphy about how Bill Cosby was upset that he was using profanity. And Richard Pryor was like, "Eddie, people laughing?" Eddie was like, "Yeah." "Are you getting paid?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, tell Bill Cosby to shut the blank up and have him." So that's kind of where I am. Like, hey, man, if the parents of the young man, if they're cool, man, everybody shut up. It's just a joke. It's from Bad Boys. It's cool, man. It's cool. It's dumb. Really great joke. I'm going to do the same thing in a couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah, I had somebody, I tweeted about it. You know, I said this on Twitter where I was just like, this is so stupid that Jay Feely even has to say this.
Yeah.
Clarification. And somebody tweeted at me and said, well, the joke wasn't funny and he just needs to be a more considerate person.
No,
considerate to who?
Joke was funny, actually.
Considerate to who?
It was a great joke.
If the kid is not offended, and like you said, the parents?
It was a great joke.
Who does he need to be considerate to? Yeah. You? Some random person on the internet? Screw you.
Great joke.
That's
I love
dumb.
That joke. It was a funny joke. Cool joke.
This just
awesome.
This kills me.
Awesome joke.
Yeah. Made me chuckle, and, you know, here we are.
What you got, Ben?
I'm giving the University of Alabama a for what. You know, I wanted to get to this on Friday.
Just a perpetual for
what? But we kind of had, yes, they get a daily for what. I wanted to get to this on Friday, but we had a full house. Mm-hmm. It was the Swainy bunch, as I believe it was Travis Cabbage referred to. I believe this is outside of Bryant-Denny Stadium. They have the Walk of Champions is what I believe they call it. And they have on the ground, it's kind of like Hollywood, mm-hmm. little blocks. Mm-hmm. And they write in the captains of each season into each cement block. And Sean Dion Hamilton, a great linebacker for Alabama last year, about to get drafted in the first couple of rounds this weekend of the NFL draft, captain of the team, just a force on that Alabama defense. And so because he was a captain, he gets his name written in to the Walk of Champions or whatever they call it.
Yeah, pretty cool.
They spelled his name wrong.
Oh!
Yeah. So his name is spelled S-H-A-U-N. They spelled it S-H-A-W-N.
Oh!
How do you spell one of your best players and your team captain, a future NFL star more than likely, how do you spell his name wrong?
Yeah, they get it for what?
I mean, it's Alabama. Let's be honest here.
This would be like, I don't know, Jalen Reeves Maybin, his name being spelled instead of M-A-Y-B-I-N. M-A-Y-B-E-N on something. Or Peyton's name being spelt wrong somewhere. P-A-Y-T-O-N.
That's like when people say, man, you had one job. You had one job to spell it right.
It has since been corrected, but the University of Alabama gets a for what every day, but especially today.
I'll throw one more for what in there for old Emmitt Smith. Did you see him over the weekend? Emmitt Smith, if you do not know his background, played at the University of Florida, but for some reason showed up at Georgia's spring game in Georgia gear this weekend.
His son was being recruited to Georgia.
Okay, there you go.
Visiting over the weekend.
I missed that context, but still not an excuse.
Still not an excuse.
Don't wear the Georgia stuff. Don't show up and wear the Georgia stuff. And his son's not in the picture. He took a picture with Kirby Smart, and his son's not in the picture.
And I don't believe it's like his son is committed. I could understand if his son was committed, potentially.
Maybe.
But he's not even committed.
Yeah. If your son is on the team, like, I'm sorry, committed – it's not even good enough. If your son is on the team,
a member of team,
then okay,
133.
But your son's not on the team, man. No. You are a Florida great. You got to have some awareness, man. It's one thing to maybe have on a Georgia hat at the game that your son is playing in because he plays for Georgia. You doing all this on a visit?
Fred Taylor wouldn't do this.
Fred Taylor would definitely not do this.
Handle it like Aaron Hayden, son going to Arkansas.
Aaron Hayden wouldn't do this.
He's not walking around wearing Arkansas stuff. Yeah. He supports his son, loves his son, cheers for him when he plays.
He wears Arkansas stuff to the game.
But he's a Tennessee guy.
He might wear a hat, but this is tough for Aaron Hayden. Like, this is tough. Now, he always going to love his son first and support his son first.
Yes. Sure.
He's a VFL. Yeah. He's orange to the core. So
always a Tennessee guy.
That wouldn't happen with Aaron Hayden.
I'd be curious to know what Mr. Hayden rocks during Arkansas games.
Yeah, I haven't seen him at a game, I guess.
Arkansas
but
gear, I would.
Maybe his son's jersey.
I would, too.
Oh, without a question.
It's just some parents go over the top with what they're wearing in gear. Some parents just rock a simple T-shirt.
Game day, my son playing, I'm supporting my son. I don't care what team
I agree. I agree. I'd have a hat on. I'd have his jersey on, probably. Maybe not a jersey, but a jersey or something like that.
I don't know if Aaron Hayden would do this, though. Nah. On a visit,
I would hope not.
Rock the other team's colors and gear. Nah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do that.
Like if I'm sure Chase visited Alabama at some point, unofficially or officially. I doubt Aaron, Mr. Hayden showed up.
He ain't doing that.
And then put on Alabama stuff once he arrived.
Mm-mm, that ain't happening, man. That ain't happening. That's good for what, guys? Great for what today?
For what to all the Avalanche fans that thought they were going to win the series, all the Avalanche beat riders, y'all get it for what? For just being idiots.
Specifically that Mark Kisla guy who said the Predators were pretenders.
That's more who I was referring to. I just couldn't think of his name at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, I don't necessarily disagree with him because I do think the Preds are going to lose this upcoming series. If they play the way that they played against Colorado, they will not beat Winnipeg. So hopefully the game last night is a sign of things to come and that they've turned things around. But if they play like they did against Colorado, they will not be moving on. Hopefully, I'm wrong.
I don't want Charlie in a bad mood or you in a bad mood.
I mean, I think Charlie would agree with that. The Preds did not play good last series.
They didn't. They didn't play. That final game, that's how they play.
Yes.
I mean, that's –
they have to play
them.
Like that in order to beat Winnipeg.
But, to win the Stanley Cup, they got to play like that in almost every game.
Got to peak at the right time and playoff format.
Yep.
All right, hour three coming up.